perspective. One of our brightest traders was in a slump. We discussed solutions about lowering his tier size, sticking with his best setups, and visualizing a positive day. On the open, I caught him with a large position in JPM the day after earnings on my risk monitor. I stormed over to his desk and ordered him, like a college basketball coach would, to move the ball, to cut his position size in half. I reminded him that to get back on the track, he should cut his size, stick with his best setups, and just focus on being positive for the day. There are tricks to getting back on track. Letting a slump linger needlessly for an extended period can ruin a good quarter, or in some cases, a good year. Apparently, the prop trading public did not do as well in June 2009 as the spring of 2009, given the emails sent to me, phone calls I received, and anecdotes shared by other firms. Sometimes a trading year only offers 3 to 4 excellent trading months. The other months, you grind it out and pay the bills. It is often in these other months that traders slump and dig big trading holes. Generally, this is because traders fail to adjust. They are trading with too much size for a slower market. They are assuming that setups that worked last month must work this month. They have unrealistic expectations for the present month. They are not making the best trades for them, and as a result, they dig a hole for themselves. June 2009 was a month that offered opportunity. Steve and I discussed why traders were struggling. A respected, well-known trader friend of ours offered a hypothesis that traders had been too beaten down mentally from the fall of 2008 and the struggles at the beginning of 2009 to properly trade June. Interesting. But I have found that people have trouble shifting from struggling to making what they should because they undervalue the importance of confidence. You often just need to remind yourself that, yes, you can do it. You need to remind yourself of why you are a good trader. You must return to making only the trades that work best for you. Sure, the size of your winning trades may not be as big as they were in previous, better months, but you're winning again. Back to the sum of your best trades, the best of your trading. If you have made money trading in the past, you will going forward with just a few adjustments. If you are a new trader and you do the things required, you will be fine. And the market is almost always ripe with opportunity. Anyway, I thought I would just offer my perspective. The Cheetah and the Trader. I had an interesting conversation with a young trader from another firm on January 15, 2009. This young trader pops into my office from time to time and talks trading. He is a very bright and competitive young man from the Midwest, and he was struggling. But over the past 2 months, he has dug himself a huge P&L hole. I had been hearing a lot of stories like this at this time. A trading friend of SMB told us that one of the best 10 traders we know gave back his whole year during this past month. While I was getting breakfast on this trading day, a few nervous young traders stopped me to ask how our guys were doing lately. They relayed that many in their firm were quite negative. I heard that a few Tier 1 day trading firms in January 2009 restricted trader losses going forward. I was at a holiday party the previous month, and one of the best traders on the street was practically crying to me about how badly he had been trading. I spoke with two energy traders during this exact time period at the Reebok Club in Manhattan, who offered that they were probably going to be fired by their firms because of their losses. I know that for SMB, that month presented a challenge for some of our traders. Personally, I don't have a bad month. I have traded through enough markets that I have created a trading system for myself that allows me to profit no matter what the market. That last month, I was positive. And I will share what I shared with that young trader who was worried. You need more experience. You need to see some more markets. You need to make some adjustments. You need to go back to the basics. One of our bright new traders, Joe P., who had been struggling, made a list of plays that he would focus on that month. Great work there. But there were a few plays on his list that I didn't even understand. They were technical plays that I did not use. And I will share what I told him. Trading is about finding weak stocks and getting short at levels that offer an excellent risk reward. Trading is about finding strong stocks and getting long at levels that offer an excellent risk-reward. Do not make things so complicated. We produced a video called A Day on the Street, which tracks a trader from one day and was produced by Maureen Holohan from Money Game. On this video, you can hear me share, "The market offers you so much data to doubt yourself, and you must believe in yourself." And that is so true. The market provides you so much data that can convince you that you do not belong, but you must find a way. There will be good runs and bad. Many traders had a nice run in October and November 2008, and from what I heard, December was an awful month on the street for almost every trader. The good traders make the adjustments necessary and enjoy a long and prosperous career. And these adjustments are often minor. And those who don't find work elsewhere. That is the game. It always amazes me how difficult new traders make trading. And during times like those I've just mentioned, the answers are simple. Go back to the basics. What trades work best for you? Make a list. Just make those trades for the next week. Make these trades with small size. What stocks are best for you? For SMB traders, it is the stocks in play. So make sure you are in these stocks. Jay Toma sent me a great quote on this subject. "The cheetah, while the fastest animal on the African plain and can outrun any of the prey it feasts upon, always chooses to go for the young, weak, or sick. Once identified, he or she attacks with laser-guided focus and effectiveness. It is only then that the kill is most likely." That is the epitome of a professional trader. Be the cheetah. Having a slump is all part of the learning process. It is not supposed to be easy. Did you ever wonder why so few get to trade for a living? It is like joining this fancy golf club. They don't let everyone in. And to stay in, you must follow all the rules. Well, during this stretch, those who were underperforming were not following all the rules. And the club doesn't like that. So they imposed a substantial fine on your membership. And now you need to pay it. Follow the rules, and you will be back in good standing. Don't follow the rules, and they will terminate your membership. So if you are underperforming, do not panic. The best part about this job is that the past is the past. And starting tomorrow, you can be positive every single day for the rest of the month. And have a great month. And then you can parlay that positive energy into an excellent quarter. And you're off to a great year. Along the way, figure out the skills you need to better develop. Work on them every day. And the next time you underperform and need to go back to the basics, your list of trading plays will be longer. When I first started, my account was negative $36,000 after 6 months. 11 years later, I'm still trading. How? I am a cheetah. So this is how we score as intraday traders. Now if I could just get my jump shot to start falling again. Let's take a peek inside a proprietary trading firm next and see what tools they use to improve their trading results. Part 4. The Trader's Brain. Chapter 10. Trader Education. After I spoke at the 2008 International Traders Expo in New York, a well-dressed, older gentleman approached me and asked, "What is the advantage of joining a proprietary firm like yours? Is it the buying power you can offer?" This dapper don explained that he had been trading for himself, and without hesitation, proudly mentioned that he had been doing quite well. There was a hint of, "What do I need someone like you for?" in Dapper Don's question. I liked his attitude. I could only answer briefly, so I replied, "We do offer deeper pockets, which can help, but the main reasons are the ideas shared by our desk and the mentorship from experienced traders who have traded successfully for over a decade." I have been thinking about this question for some time now. I wish I knew this gentleman's name and could reach out to him, but my sense was that this developing trader was not sold on my response. So, to this impeccably dressed developing trader, I offer this chapter. And thank you, Dapper Don. This chapter makes up the main topics that make up our trader education program. We'll cover the reasons why it's beneficial for new traders to review their work, understand the emotions behind trading, and, perhaps most importantly, find a mentor for much-needed guidance and support. These are just a few. Keep listening for more. Using video to review trades. Traders, like athletes, should watch lots of trading tape. The best athletes and teams watch film of themselves to see what they're doing right and wrong, and how to improve. Word has it that New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who has led his team to 3 Super Bowl championships in the last decade, spends 12 hours at a time reviewing game film, all while scarfing down a whole pizza pie and a 2-liter bottle of soda. When asked what was the first thing he would buy with his outsized signing bonus from the New York Giants, Eli Manning, now Super Bowl champion quarterback Eli Manning, responded he would purchase a high-end video system to better watch film. By virtue of Belichick's meticulous analysis, his teams are often considered the most disciplined and best prepared. I know of no other prop firm that does what we do, recording our screens as we trade and reviewing them later on like a football team. I'd like to think we are setting a trend, but it's up to our peers themselves as to how they wish to evaluate their traders' work. We hold 3 different trade casts, one on fundamentals, one for our experienced traders, and one for those not brand new but not yet experienced. First, as the tape is rolling, I comment on what I see that is important on the trading tape, not to be confused with the video itself. If I notice a big buyer from the tape, no longer literal ticker tape, it's all virtual at this point in time, I will point this out so our new traders can learn. I watch to make sure our traders are trading with the trend. I make sure to point out spots where our traders are too aggressive. I mention trades that did not offer a good risk-reward and why. But, like Belichick, what I most learn is what the trader most needs to improve. From watching a trader's tape, I can see what errors he is making. Also, our traders get to watch how his or her peers are trading the same setups. But my first goal for our trade casts is to teach our traders how to think. I challenge their trades. I ask them why they are long or short. I question their tier size. I ask them where they would add more. All that Socratic training in law school obviously paid off for something. Tickster describes this as basically a trader getting mauled. They must understand the standard of thinking required to be a consistently profitable trader. And if that means these reviews are viewed as mauling their trade executions and egos, so be it. Remember, I am a trading coach. My job is to teach. Critical feedback is essential for trader growth. This is part of that process. Trading setups change. Trades that worked 1 year ago, 1 month ago, or 1 day ago may not work ever again. On the flip side, trades that work the next day may be only slightly different from the day before. But if you learn how to think, and this is no easy task, then you can make these slight adjustments. At SMB, as with most prop firms like us, we have a risk monitor. I can see the open positions of all of our traders at any given time. It's mine and Steve's money, as well as the careers of our rank and file, at stake here. We better have a risk monitor. As I play Supreme Allied Commander with my all-powerful toy known as the Risk Monitor, I watch what stocks our traders are trading, while I am trading myself, and make sure they are not making fundamental errors. If a trader is shorting a strong market, I will call that trader out for fighting the trend. If a trader is in a stock that he cannot handle, I will order him to move on. If I miss something during the day, after the close, mentors review the work of new traders, who then brief me on the mistakes of these new traders. But I learn the most from watching the trading tape during the trade casts. Sometimes our guys are making mistakes that are not just putting their results into a recession, but rather into a full-blown depression. Let's meet G and Franchise to illustrate this point. G. Improving order execution. G is one of the most likable guys on our desk. G never has a bad day in his life. Now, he might lose money trading, but again, G never has a bad day. For G, every day the sun is shining. He also leads our desk in most vacation days taken. G missed a trading day because he went to watch the Giants play Monday Night Football in Dallas. He missed one of the best trading weeks in 2008 because he found a great vacation deal in the Bahamas. He is one of the better-dressed guys on our desk, in no small part from his two-week-long visit to China, where he bought custom-made shirts. He also missed 8 days of trading because he had to attend the auto show in New York City. I'm not sure, but does the auto show even last for 8 days? And, of course, who could forget this next anecdote? Steve and I got invited to attend a holiday party for another prop firm with whom SMB shares a close relationship. This firm asked us if we wanted to also invite some of our traders. We invited G. This might have been a mistake. G apparently hit on the wife of a partner of the firm that had invited us. He claimed ignorance. Now that I am done teasing G, G is someone with whom I really enjoy working. He is, save Steve, the trader on our desk most interested in the markets. And when he isn't in the Far East, the Bahamas, Texas, or the auto show, he is one of the hardest workers on our desk. G sits right next to Steve, who, if I haven't said so already, is an excellent teacher. A seat next to him is like a seat right behind home plate at Yankee Stadium, assuming you are not offended by the $2,500 price tag per seat. Steve provides a play-by-play of his every trade, and he trades all day long. Steve constantly attempts to get those around him into stocks that are moving. In December of 2008, G was struggling with his trades, so we watched some of his tape. He had traded well that autumn, so his recent struggles were an enigma. After watching the tape of his trading, it became so clear why he was struggling. He was sweeping too much and not bidding and offering enough. To sweep means to pay the offer plus a little extra, with that extra determined by you. So if the offer is at 30, then your sweep key will take the first trade it can at 30, and to as high as your sweep key is set. So, for example, if your sweep key is 0.04, or 4 cents, then your sweep key will attempt to buy at 30. If you do not get filled exactly at 30, then it automatically tries to take the offer at 30.01. If it cannot get that price, then it automatically sweeps at 30.02, then 30.03 if it could not get 30.02, then 30.04 if it cannot get 30.03. You also have a sweep key to sell. So if the bid is 29.90, then your sweep key will try to exit at 29.90, then 29.89, then 29.88, then 29.87, then 29.86. If you get the 29.90 print, then you are done. The key allows orders to be sent into the marketplace to get you the best price possible up to 4 cents. With a fast-moving market, this is essential. We watched some tape of G trading Apple. He had found an important support level, and Apple was trading a little above and a little below this support level. G was trading it on both sides. Below the support level, he was short, and above the support level, he was long. But we noticed in 3 quick trades that he had cost himself an extra $170 by sweeping when he should have been bidding or offering. To bid for a stock means you place a limit order at a specific price. For example, you place an order to buy Apple at $75. You will only get Apple if some market player hits your bid in Apple. You can also offer Apple for a specific price to sell. If you offer Apple at $75.50, then you will not get this sale unless some market player takes your offer at this price. Instead of buying Apple at 75, G was sweeping and starting his position at 75.07. Instead of selling out of Apple at 75.05, he was sweeping out at 74.93. And he kept doing this around this support level. Mind you, $170 is not a lot of money to lose for a trader of G's skill. But what was significant was that for the same trades, he could have saved $170. And this was 3 trades. Now, as active traders, we may write 2 million-plus shares per month. Just to do some simple math, if you save just 1 cent every trade and write 2 million shares, that is an extra $20,000 a month. So we pointed this issue out to G, and he immediately started working on bidding and offering more. First, G eliminated his sweep key entirely. He just decided he would only bid and offer for the next few weeks. Doing this is like jumping out of an airplane without a backup parachute. You want to work on bidding and offering while also having your safety exit, your sweep key. But G chose a more extreme form of improvement. And improve he did. Another trader who improved by watching the tape is G's good friend, Franchise. G and Franchise are a modern-day version of the Odd Couple. G is short, stocky, olive-skinned, and new-age stylish. Franchise is tall, athletic, white, and preppy. The two are roommates, man-friends as we kid on the desk, in a swank Lower East Side bachelor pad. But enough about their out-in-the-open bromance. Let's discuss how Tradecasts improved Franchise's game. Franchise. Poor position sizing. Franchise struggled with position sizing, which we could not pick up until we all sat down to watch his tape. Remember, Franchise is the former college swimmer who tried out for the Olympics in the 50-meter freestyle. That yearning to be the best has made him a driven, relentless trader. We watched his tape and learned that his position sizing was poor. Actually, it wasn't poor. It was nonsensical. Position sizing refers to how large a position that you take per trade. Some trades call for a huge position, loading the boat. Some for a large position. Some for your standard tier size, one lot. And some for much less, just a taste. Some trades for a developing trader can be as high as 3,000 shares, all the way down to the pedestrian retail of 100 shares. And learning when to have the most size is a skill that developing traders must acquire. Poor position sizing can lead to inconsistent results. Trading is just a game of math. If you are long 3,000 shares of a stock and your win rate is 30%, yet you are long 700 shares when your win rate is 70%, then this will skew your trading results. It is not that your trading is poor. It is just that you need to get better at this one skill, position sizing. And this was Franchise's issue, other than living with G. So we watched his tape, and he made a beautiful trade with 800 shares where his win rate was 70%, his downside was 1, and his upside was 5. Just as we teach in the trading class, somebody must have been listening. And then, about 10 minutes later, we saw another trade. Bam! He placed a trade with 2,400 shares where his win rate was 50%, his downside was 1, and his upside was 1. This was Franchise slowly drifting into Chapter 5, Why Traders Fail. We now had the answer to why his results had been inconsistent. He would have days when he was at the top of the leaderboard with superstardom possible. And yet there were too many days when he was stopped out before 10:15 a.m. When you're on the top of the leaderboard as much as Franchise, you can trade for a living and have tremendous trading talent. When you are stopped out so often, then generally you are disobeying a market fundamental. Net-to-net, such add-ons will infect your trading results and reduce your P&L. You want results where you traded with the most size with your best setups. You do not want results where your good trades are mixed with other trades that do not offer you the best risk-reward. This is an example of reduced potential. So we put Franchise to work on improving his position sizing. I am not sure you put a guy like Franchise to work, per se. You suggest an adjustment and then wait, because with certainty you know he is working on it. Over the next few months, he was our most improved trader. I was not surprised. As I mentioned, we watch tape of our traders daily on our desk. Also, during 2 weekends a month, our desk comes in for a video review. The markets are closed, and there are few distractions, other than those beautiful sunny days when all your friends are at Central Park, scouting the female talent, or on the beach in East Hampton. Meanwhile, we are at the office, working like all those snooty investment bankers we so desperately avoid trying to become. There is no other way to get better. There are no excuses in trading. To get better, you have to work. And that is what our guys are doing. And they're not the only ones. To improve my own trading, I record my screens during the open and the close. Personally, I look for new algorithmic programs that I must conquer. I search for spots where I could have added more size. This is one of my trading weaknesses. I do a poor job of holding stocks that ought to be held, so I consider trades that I could have held longer. I am not going to get better at this unless I do the work required. Watching trading tape also shows me how easy trading is when I remove my emotions from a trade. When I review my work, I am not invested in a trade in real time. I, nor anyone else, can lose money watching tapes of my trading. Trading live, the market seems fast. When you watch back your trading tape, you see that the market is actually very slow. There are so many times when I think I am trading a lightning-fast stock, then watch my tape and learn the truth. There are times when I see the pattern in a stock by watching my tape and recognize how I traded the stock backward. My pattern recognition was poor, if not embarrassing, for someone of my experience. It was not that the stock was difficult to trade, but rather that while I was trading it, I did not recognize its pattern. Also, when I watch the tape, I can see how clean some of the moves are in stocks. While in the trade, I overvalue the possibility that the pattern might change or the stock will reverse. But there are so many moves that are just clean. The stock is strong. It goes up. It never ticks down. These are the moves I must add size to, trades for which I must man up, as G-Man instructs to our developing traders. Watching the tape gives me the confidence to really size up with certain setups. For me, I must identify the plays where I can load up and hold for longer periods. I must prepare to accept these gains. Gladly, I might add. So when I spot a great setup live, then I remember my tape sessions. I remember to really load up with this trade and hold, and now and only now does it work. Watching the tape is an exercise that can benefit all traders. In professional basketball, players have a shoot-around before each game. They arrive early to the arena and practice their shooting so that they can perform better during the game. How well they shoot in the game is dependent on the skills that they develop during their drills. For a developing trader, watching tape is one way that he or she can practice and develop skills after the market closes. Also, developing traders need experience watching the markets trade. Watching their tape multiplies their trading experience and shortens their learning curve. Easy enough, no? All it takes is a little time. Practicing techniques from top trading psychologists. I have read the works of all the top trading psychologists, including Ari Kiev, Dr. Brett Steenbarger, Doug Hirschhorn, a.k.a. Dr. Doug, and Mark Douglas. What I learned from these authors is the importance of preparing your mind. Specifically, you must believe that you are worthy of making chops before you can. Note, Kiev was the in-house psychologist for SAC Capital, a hedge fund firm that will go down in history as one of the best ever. I once heard Kiev say that traders should seek to be in control while simultaneously being out of control a bit, and push one's comfort zone to find greater success. As if they are a downhill skier picking up top speed, yet having all the confidence they will complete the run without crashing and breaking both collarbones. At SMB Capital, we dedicate a large part of our trader education program to practicing what today's top trading psychologists are preaching. We teach new traders the techniques we've found helpful for remaining calm and focused, whether it's taking a walk around the block or using visualization techniques. As I mentioned, G-Man, our head trader, walked into our conference room one day and announced, "I quit." Needless to say, Steve and I were shocked. Steve knew G-Man better than I at the time and replied simply, "G-Man, I think you're making a big mistake." Steve continued that G-Man needed to learn how to control his emotions. G-Man was prone to emotional outbursts and would bang the desk and curse when frustrated. He occasionally would break a keyboard. For historical context, when I started trading, it was commonplace for traders to break their keyboards and curse out loud. In fact, keyboards were broken so frequently that our tech support was trained to replace a broken keyboard in a few minutes. Traders were automatically charged for the new keyboard. There was little thought that maybe this was inappropriate behavior. Guys were making serious money, so boorish behavior was tolerated. Make no mistake, trading is stressful. Active intraday trading is the most stressful of all trading periods. One mistake can ruin your month. One missed print for 5,000 shares can ruin your week. As I've mentioned already, there is a fine line between being a good trader and a losing trader. And we do this day in and day out. We trade 48 weeks a year, 5 days a week, save the occasional holiday. This is not an easy job. Unless you're Gandhi or the Dalai Lama, it's difficult to will yourself to remain calm. Unfortunately, verbalizing frustration does not improve one's trading. In fact, it usually compounds losses that are already being realized. When you are frustrated, your brain is chemically altered, and the only way to exit this state of anger is to, well, make an effort to calm down. I, along with many of my peers who run prop desks, instruct traders to take a walk to de-stress and not to restart their trading until they are focused and calm. We also teach our traders visualization exercises so that they do not become frustrated as easily. For example, one of our traders gets frustrated when he gets long, has a short bias, and then takes a rip. Then he trades on tilt. This trader turns one small loss into getting stopped out. So we taught him how to use visualization techniques to control his emotions. The goal is to program his mind such that he does not get frustrated. Again, you cannot just tell yourself not to get upset. This is not about self-control. This is about how your brain is wired. In our training, we emphasize to new traders to perform visualization exercises to better control these emotions. Women tend to be better at this than men, hence my desire to hire more women if they'd only send in more resumes. I would urge those most interested to visit Dr. Steenbarger's blog, Trader Feed, to learn in depth the best visualization techniques. In short, and please don't think I'm some New Age yoga instructor by the following sentences, but all of this is important to our success as a firm. We all have mental weaknesses that we must conquer. Some of us insist in showing the market that we are correct. Remember about rather being right than making money? Some cannot hit stocks that trade against them. Some anxiously take profits when there is no reason to do so. Some are afraid to pull the trigger with an excellent risk-reward setup. The only way to get better is to work on your visualization exercises as they relate to these weaknesses. Mentoring. A good mentor can make your trading career. This was not always true. When I first started, the market was much easier to trade, as the markets were more directional. Some would say it was harder to lose money than make money. A simple buy of a tech stock on any given day would do the trick. The NASDAQ was in a steady uptrend to heights we have not even come close to since its peak in March 2000. But today, because of algorithmic programs and market volatility, it's much harder to navigate the market as a novice trader. Hence, a good mentor can make a huge difference. Good mentoring is omnipresent on an excellent prop desk. At the beginning of 2009, I spoke with our desk as they slogged through a market where the volatility we had thrived on in 2008 was gone. They were struggling. I tried to explain calmly that this was an excellent trading market and not as difficult as the previous month. I was that coach at halftime who was trying to communicate that we can do better, but without the chair-throwing and fire-and-brimstone, win-one-for-the-gipper speech. When they heard me explain that they could indeed make money, then they knew they could. Their doubts dissipated. It was like I needed to green light they could make money again and start running their trading offense, so to speak. And then, a few weeks later, I heatedly challenged our traders to make more. I told them not to be satisfied, that they were capable of even more. And you know what? Then they magically made more. G-Man. After nearly quitting, G-Man has stepped into the role as leader and mentor to our young traders. After all, Steve and I can't do all the work. Here are some examples. Sometimes our traders try to get cute with a fading market. When G-Man spotted this behavior one weak trading day, he yelled, "The market is not a long." A new trader responded, "G-Man, the market is not going down anymore." G-Man replied harshly, "Stop getting long." Remember what I wrote about listening? There was a patented, vicious closed-door meeting for that rookie mistake. Subsequently, the market tanked further. Traders on our desk hear this dialogue, and it helps them not to do anything stupid, like fading a weak market. In another example of his mentorship, G-Man was trading MS, which was in a downtrend. Again, the market was weak, and late in the trading day, 45 minutes until the close. A few traders were fading MS, and G-Man caught this on our risk monitor. Again, he yelled, "Stop fading MS! The stock is not a long. It is probably going through 23. You should be focusing on a short below 23. Sure enough, after a few fake breakdowns, MS traded below 23 and held. G-Man was very short and very profitable. Those traders who listened rode MS down to near 22, and G-Man had averted some rips for those new traders in MS. And even better, he had them and some others on the right side of MS into the close. This is what a good mentor can offer. And then, of course, there was the day when G-Man was short LVS that was broken intraday. One of our traders, Z-Money, got short but covered too quickly. G-Man caught this. "Mush, stop being such a wuss. Learn to take some pain. The stock is not a cover." Now, you can't ever really hear what Z-Mush says because he speaks so quietly, but word is he replied, "Shut up, G-Man, and let me trade." Z-Mush has been positive every day for the past year, but it is still G-Man's job to challenge him. One day, when he learns to hold and his results double, he will understand that G-Man is making him a better trader. Mentors will shout out important technical levels in the market and will share when the market may turn. We often pull traders into our office and just tell them that they can make it. We build their confidence. A mentor demonstrates the professionalism required to be successful. We are in early and have scoured the news feeds for the stocks in play. Steve prepares for 2 hours every night before he starts his preparation for our AM meeting. We are at our trading stations with complete focus. There are no phone calls, emails, IMs, text messages, Twittering, or any other new technology on the open and the close. We just trade. The preparation, focus, and discipline required to compete at this level is transferred to the young guns. We watch their positions so they do not take unnecessary rips. We make sure they focus on the process. You can hear me implore daily, "Make one good trade, and then one good trade, and then one good trade." Dr. Momentum. Experienced traders who know how to make adjustments on the fly, mentoring the developing trader, is vital. Let's take one of my favorite traders, Dr. Momentum. He killed it during the fall of 2008, but struggled at the end of that year and start of 2009. He had made so much money that, financially, he didn't need to make money for a long time. But he was starting to rip up his well-deserved cushion, and, most importantly, he was underperforming. Dr. Momentum was so successful in the fall of 2008 because of his superior momentum trading skills. He was unafraid to smack GS down 10 points and ride it lower. When the banks were falling and failing, he crushed them. When the banks were trading down, he was short. When the banks had a 1 or 2 day rally, he was long. In his first year, he showed superstar ability, showing the mental dexterity to trade these fast-moving bank stocks on either side. He had the nerve and gumption to ride the crazy train of GS, MS, MER, LEH. But when the market stabilized, he started to underperform. So Steve and I offered him guidance. I offered, "Dr. Momentum, I have traded many different styles over the years. I have had to make many adjustments. This period does not indicate that you cannot make money as a trader. This is a learning experience for you. The market is testing whether you can adapt. You have the skills. Now we just have to work on when to be aggressive and when to be careful, and work on that. And Dr. Momentum started thinking about the adjustments he needed to make. We pointed out some trades where he was being overly aggressive and how that would not work in this changing market at the start of 2009. He found FAZ, the triple-levered ETF that tracks the financials inversely, which rewarded his aggressiveness again. He was selectively aggressive with the bank stocks, and he went right back to making money. None of our mentorship works unless our traders, like Dr. Momentum, listen and then put in the work necessary to adapt successfully. He was receptive. Our experience and past success validates our instruction. And so, instead of Dr. Momentum continuing to struggle, he turned it around. Instead of Dr. Momentum wondering why what worked in the fall of 2008 now was not without a solution, our mentorship guided him through his next step, and he found his stride again. A Talk with the Newbies. One of my favorite discussions is with new traders who just go live. At the start, I gather our newest traders in our conference room and ask them how they are doing. At the initial sit-down with a recent training class, I was very impressed. Not one of these new traders judged their start based upon their P&L. They have been listening and learning. The first newbie, commenting on their progress, said, "I have to work on my if-then statements for support and resistance plays. I was not exiting some positions for small gains. Instead, I took small losses. I need to find ways to take small gains, be in the plays for the big gains, and not just so many small losses and only big gains." This was excellent analysis for a trader on day two of his trading career. Another former college football player and newbie commented, "I have to get faster pulling the trigger when I see a good setup. I was too hesitant on a few trades." Again, music to my ears. In the past, I have led these meetings and some poor new trader makes the mistake of saying, "I got stopped out. I had a terrible day." At SMB, this is like saying that you don't have a drinking problem at an AA meeting. Generally, someone says this in every class on the first few days of trading live. For effect, I pause a little while after this unacceptable analysis is communicated and then firmly say, "That is not how we judge our trading. Never judge your trading based upon your results. If money is all you care about, go join the league of lesser firms." And then I explain that their goal is to learn, to develop their trading skills, to gain experience trading live, and to get better every day. They get the point. After about 6 months of trading live, there is a trader in each class I spot who can really take it to the next level. And these traders have no idea. Their numbers are okay, but compared to the rest of the desk, this trader does not think of himself as ready to become excellent yet. I noticed this at the start of 2009 with EKA from our June 2008 class. This trader was absurdly bright, but his numbers were very average. He was not making much more than $700 in a day. Every once in a while, he would put up $1,000. Again, please remember that he was about 5 to 6 months into his trading career. But I could see how interested in the markets he was. When I gave a lecture to our desk, EKA looked right into my eyes. When I passed his desk after the close, he was watching tape of his trading. He was never late. Unlike G, he hardly ever took days off. Though like G, he has the funniest of trading quirks. In mid-trade, he jumps from his seat, pokes his head above his trading screens like a chicken, looks around at the row in front of him, and then plops back down in his seat again. The other day, EKA sprang from his chair, started bolting from his trading station, forgot his headset was still attached, and choked himself. EKA constantly struck up a trading conversation with our other traders. I just knew he was going to be good. He had laid the foundation. But he didn't know. And so I started to work on him. I took him into our office. I said, "I don't want you comparing yourself to the others around you. I am not sure that they are the right comparison for you. They do not possess your talent. I want you to start visualizing days of $1,500 going forward. This is what you are capable of. And as he always does, he looked right into my eyes. He couldn't hide his smile. The next few days, the encouragement was working. I noticed him put up $1,000, then $1,200, then $1,400, then $1,600, and then $1,900. And this is a trader still only 9 months into his trading career. And you know what? I had to go back and speak with him again about putting up more. I called him into my office, sat him down, and praised him on an excellent trading day. And then I planted an idea in his head. I left him with, "You know, one day $5,000 will be a good day for you." During his next good run, his better days went from $1,500 to $4,000. It is all a matter of getting traders to understand their ability, because EKA was capable of being one of the best traders on our desk. A mentor can lead you to discover the talent inside of you. Sometimes you just need to be told that you can do it. My partner Steve is one tough trader. As I have said, if you met him for the first time, you would walk away concluding he was a Wharton intellectual. But Steve will grind it out like Tiger. He will take a loss and fight back. The day for him doesn't end until the bell rings. A bad start is just an opportunity to make a comeback. You would have to literally drag him away from his trading station to end his fight. And he fights with every tick, every day, sick or not, tired or alert, hungry or well-fed. This is mentorship. There is not anything that Steve can say that is more effective than his actions. I asked a former trader who writes exceptionally well, BLY, to add his thoughts about the value of mentorship. Here are some thoughts he shared. As for talking with other traders, well, we all know it's extremely valuable to do so. Sure, one can certainly trade at home with filters and news feeds and the like, but generally speaking, a trader, especially a newish trader, should trade with a group. Here's why. First, there is always going to be someone else who has more experience than you. This is true of life in general and in trading in particular, and so you want to avail yourself of that person's knowledge, talent, and, yes, trading wisdom. People need other people. But traders especially need other traders because knowledge and experience don't exist in a vacuum. When a seasoned trader such as Jay Thoma or G-Man or you says that a certain stock is approaching a key support or resistance level, it's probably a good idea to heed that information. Sure, jumping blindly into a new situation is generally not recommended, but because trading is a fast-moving, fluid enterprise, there's a strong likelihood that when a veteran trader says he sees something significant happening, it's probably the case that what he sees is for real, and that what he thinks is about to happen is likely to happen. Sure, predicting the future is a difficult skill, but it can be done. You want evidence? I give you evidence. If, for example, a monstrously large held offer, one that held for several previous tests, is finally decrementing, and decrementing fast, and it's a seasoned and experienced trader who has called this out, it's probably a good idea to get in there. Not only can you learn from mentors on an outstanding prop desk, but you can learn from its traders as well. Learning from traders on the desk. Let's turn to our rank and file for their take on why it's valuable to learn from your fellow traders. One of our most improved new traders is the best at engaging traders in a discussion about stocks. I'll call him KW, for Kurt Warner, whose willingness to improve as a quarterback, especially when his college days were over, when he stocked shelves at a grocery store, led to one of the most improbable rises to fame in sports history. Warner has played in 3 Super Bowls, won 1, and been robbed in the last minute in 2 others. KW talks about FAZ with Moneymaker, Dr. Momentum, and others above the food chain than he. These conversations make them all better. but it's because KW initiates and then leads the discussion that they are benefiting. KW recently doubled his trading output and has gone from simply good to excellent. It is not so much his improved results that I notice. It is this habit he has formed of seeking more information and learning from better traders. Will he become the best trader on our desk? KW, after Kurt Warner. KW sent me his thoughts on how other traders on our desk help him. I try to seek out every trader I believe I can learn something from. If I worked on a very poor desk, I would probably spend all day figuring out what not to do. At first, I asked every question I had to Steve, Mike, and G-Man because it was early in my trading career, and I wanted my basic questions answered right. As I grew as a trader, I moved on to a new phase in my development where talking with others in my training class helped me progress. The senior trainers cannot spend all day pounding the fundamentals into a new trader's head, but trainees can help each other stay sharp and focused. I asked different questions to people from classes before me. I would ask Yip and DOV how they overcame problems associated with trading more than 100 shares. I would ask Franchise and G what they read on the weekends to prepare for Monday. I would ask Jay Toma how he got out of a trading slump. On a successful prop desk, micro and macro trading issues are easily addressed because everyone plays a role and no one is embarrassed about asking a question. Another benefit of talking with other traders is I can harass DOV and Moneymaker every day on how they make so much money. If a trader on our desk is doing very well or has gotten very hot, you better believe that after the close, when that trader has a moment to spare, I'm going to be in his face asking every question I've thought of. That is because not only do I want to do what he is doing, I want to do it better, a lot better. In trading, the focus should be about being better than you. However, there is a lot of value in having a tangible comparison. I would not call it competition, but taking turns pushing each other, which could be the greatest quality a desk can have. TBW, T. Boone Wannabe. I also posed this question to our most talented new trader on our desk, TBW, for T. Boone Wannabe. He responded, "When I saw other traders last summer making money in those energy stocks, I started asking questions. Why and how are these stocks moving? What are the best ones to trade? What specific plays are you looking for?" These are questions specific to that moment in the market, and you can only learn that from asking other traders the right questions and then putting in the time yourself. So I think that being able to adjust to the market and apply specific strategies at certain points in the market is something I learned from other traders on the desk. The market is always changing. The market will always be a different one from the one you first learned how to trade in. Having mentors and other traders to work with is the best way to move through that process. One of our disciplined young traders offered an example of how talking with others helped. For example, February 13th, the 30 level in FCX was a big level. It failed there once before on the yearly chart, and that day it gapped up hard in the pre-market. I did my homework the day before, knowing of this 30 level, and coming in pre-market, 29.50 was support. I formulated my plan, telling myself that I wanted to be long FCX before it reaches 30, so I would look for any buying around the 29.50 level. The market opens, and FCX has a very wide spread, with few prints in between 60 cents and 80 cents. To make it short, I never got long near 50 cents, and once it was at the 30 level, I did not feel comfortable getting long my max position size after the stock made a 50-cent move. Also, while the stock was making its moves above 30, I kept selling into the move. So when its stock finally made its move to 30.70, I had only 100 shares when I had 400 from 30. After the day, I went to talk with Jay Toma about the trade, which he was in from 30 as well. I told him of my plan and what I saw in the morning. He told me that if I wanted to get long in front of 29.50, just risk it with 100 shares, despite the lack of volume, just so I can be in it. He told me that 10 cents of risk was worth it, since the real money is the stock above 30, and being in the stock before 30 allows you to be more aggressive. Also, he told me that if I had a strong long bias in the stock above 30, I should have kept a larger size as my core, instead of lightening up as it moves up and buying the stock higher and higher. I remembered those concepts, and both those ideas translated well into my trading of QCOM today. G-Man. G-Man, our head trader, recently offered an example of how talking with other traders helped him and the developing traders. Some of us went to Metro Hotel's rooftop for a couple of beers. The discussion quickly turned into how we all trade FAZ. The three of us have very different styles with our own strengths and weaknesses. There were plenty of arguments as to when to trade it with size on momentum and when to trade it as a trade to hold. After listening to them, I realized that I could be much more aggressive on certain momentum plays. They also realized that in some plays, it is okay to take some pain buying into a pullback or shorting into strength to play the direction of the market, rather than trying to pay, hit the new high-low, or fade every dopey move. It was a very productive conversation over a few Brooklyn lagers that will make me and them better traders. G-Man also offered an excellent example of how talking to a developing trader can help a developing trader. He blogged, "A new trader will find that a well-executed play by a peer in their class is easily remembered compared to hearing about it from an experienced guy. Seriously, imagine watching a guy who just started with you explain how they chopped it up in a trade, talking in detail what they saw. An explanation of their play can be much simpler than that of an experienced trader. The experienced guy may just have way too many if-then statements. I have tried to explain to a new trader how I buy into a pullback, and I can just see their confused faces. But I have seen a new trader explain to another one what an unusual hold looks like, and they remember this stuff." A few of our traders had an excellent Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday recently. They blew off our VRS, video review session, on Wednesday. These are guys doing very well whose progress I am proud of. But I cannot stand stuff like this. So we had a meeting behind closed doors with some of the culprits. One guy claimed he had a doctor's appointment. Another said he had some paperwork to handle. Another said he wasn't feeling well, and another said he was tired. At this stage of the book, you may be able to anticipate my response. I was not overjoyed. So we met and talked. I calmly offered reasons why attending the tradecasts were in their best interest. My best arguments centered around the importance of trading ideas. I argued they were not acting in their self-interest by skipping the VRS. I could have just yelled and ordered, "Don't miss another tradecast." But almost always I prefer to offer a convincing case why missing the tradecast was harmful to their trading. I explained that the core ought to teach the new traders. Doing so will make our desk stronger. The core will be rewarded. Mentoring a new trader, attending the tradecast, and offering suggestions to the new trader will help our newbies. These newbies will, in return, offer more trading opportunities to the core. It's called reciprocity. All it takes is one great trading idea to make your week. We had all crushed WFC the day before. Steve called out the 25-25 level, and we all rode the strong up move into the close. But next time, that idea may come from a newbie. As for being too tired to attend, I asked them to 10-10-10 it, as developed by Susie Welch. What would be the consequences of them missing this VRS in 10 minutes, 10 months, and 10 years? In 10 minutes, they would be free of the office. In 10 months, they would be sitting on a weaker desk, which was not in their self-interest. And in 10 years, they would want to be on a strong desk with a free flow of valuable trading ideas with fully developed trading skills. So, after 10-10-10, the decision that was best was for them to suck it up and attend the VRS. They all shook their heads. Their eyes told me they understood. Scorsese. Let's wrap up this topic with some thoughts from one of my favorite traders, Scorsese. Cue the camera. We open on Mark, who, with his quiet intensity, is riding a stock up or down and making a quick killing. Some exhalation of success will occur, indicating that a trade is working. One thing is for sure. When things aren't working, Mark will not gesticulate.